Let's look at back-to-school anxiety for kids and parents. Psychologist, author, parenting relationship expert, host of the Experts Connect with Help Me Sarah podcast, author of Don't Leave, Please Go, What You and Your Teen Need to Know Before Heading to University or College, Sarah Dimmerman joining us on Canada Now. Sarah, I think we talk more than once a year, though it has been a while, but we always talk at this time of year.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Me too. You're the calming voice in what is going to be an anxiety-filled few days with back to school and the anticipation of it. So I appreciate having access to you, Sarah. I remember the anxiety of back to school as a kid, and I still feel it as a parent as well. I think a lot of people do.
I remember talking to you when you told me that you and your wife were planning on drowning your sorrows over pancakes, I think it was, believe.
Yes, it was my oldest.
Do you still do that?
Yes, we do, although the hit has been less felt over the course of the years. Yeah, great memory, because when our oldest, we dropped him off at school for the very first time, I was a basket case afterwards, and we just went out for breakfast. My wife tried to cheer me up. She was in a better mood than I was. She wasn't in a good mood, but she was in a better mood than I was. I was just a mess.
Well, because for a lot of parents, and I don't know if your wife was at home or not, but for a lot of parents that stay at home and take care of the kids, the summer especially can be absolutely exhausting. You know, and even those who are working outside the house, having the kids at home during the summer can be exhausting because you're having to juggle, find camps, make sure that they're taken care of when you can't take care of them. So going back to school, aside from, you mentioned a good word, anticipating, it's the anticipatory anxiety that's really so high right now for a lot of kids, parents, teachers, for sure. But there's also a sense of, phew, I can't wait to go back to some normalcy and routine.
Yes, that's kind of more what we're feeling this year, to be honest, Sarah, because over the past couple of months, my kids are 10 and 8, and so it's all about camps, keeping them busy and entertained and doing stuff with them, having family time as well and enjoying their company, but also keeping them active and making sure that, you know, while my wife and I are working, that they're not sitting around doing nothing. So, it has been a job this past summer, though we've mixed in some good times as well. So how can parents best manage their stress and also protect their kids from it?
Well, I think, you know, obviously kids feed off of our stress. So it's normal to feel anxious. It's normal to feel stressed. It's like preparing to go away even on a holiday. You know, as much as you're anticipating enjoying being on a beach somewhere, the lead up to it can be very stressful. Packing, making sure you remember everything. And so is the same for now. It's not quite the same excitement as going on a holiday, but, you know, you're maybe doing back to school shopping. You're buying a new backpack because your child has outgrown it. You're making sure you have a lunchbox. You're figuring out what to shop for this week so that you have those Lunchables in your fridge. All of those things. And so I think what I would recommend mostly, especially since we're talking on Monday and they still have a full week before most kids go back to school, I would say start now. Start getting organized now. Don't wait until the weekend, because your kids are for sure going to pick up on the stress that you're going to have to put all that together in a few days. This is the week where not only are you getting organized in terms of practical preparedness, but it's also when you're getting prepared psychologically. You're maybe trying to get your kids to bed at more of a normal hour so that they've got, so they can get up at, you know, preschool time. Yeah. You're maybe going for a walk to the school, maybe whether they're returning to the same school, whether they're going to a new school. If you're going to be walking them to school, you're going to maybe, this would be a good week to start walking around the neighborhood, checking things out, walking in the playground at the school. This would also be a great week to start for your kids, if they're old enough, or for you, if you're still arranging play dates, for you to call on the parents of other kids and say, hey, what's such and such up to this week? Can you come over? A way of kind of reconnecting your kids with other kids that they may not have seen during the summer because they've been hanging with camp kids or family members and that kind of thing. So just kind of getting them, weaning them back into the mode of back to school. And I think if you start now, then you're going to be much better prepared. And come the weekend, you can relax and just say, going to enjoy this Labor Day weekend and put this kind of aside for the weekend.
A lot of good ideas there. And you mentioned back to school shopping as well. And we talked to our personal finance expert, Leslie Ann Scorgi, once a week. And, you know, a couple of times over the last few weeks or so, we've talked about back to school shopping in different varieties. And, you know, one was about back to school shopping, buying what you need, not having to buy everything all at once, working on a budget, knowing how much you have to spend, that sort of thing, to relieve some of the financial stress. How much of the stress and anxiety are parents feeling right now as a result of what they need to spend or what they think they need to spend on back-to-school shopping?
Well, I think by nature, as parents, we feel guilty if our children don't have what other kids have. And so often that's about fashion. So, you know, it's about the backpack that's in style. It's about having new crayons or new markers, or, I mean, I'm dating myself. Maybe it's the latest iPad, you know? and so I think maybe trying not to get caught up in that. I love the idea of, you know, Facebook Marketplace, where people can find things online. People are sometimes giving things away that their children have outgrown, or they're selling a really nice backpack at a much lower cost that's barely used. So I think not to get caught up in that having to keep up with the Joneses type cliche. And then also, I think that as people, we tend to have so much of everything and we forget that we have it and we buy more. So I would say, you know, use a day this week for perhaps for going through that craft cupboard and looking at, you know, getting them to try out the crayons and the markers and that kind of thing, see which ones are still working, which ones are not. Throw out the ones that are not, and you probably will find yourself with more than enough that you don't have to buy things. I think just not getting into the habit of having to get caught up in whether it's clothes shopping or backpack shopping or even, you know, having to have new of everything, recycling things and getting your kids used to that idea, I think is a really good idea.
You know, I want to talk more about anxiety, but from a kid's perspective, Sarah, and I'll talk to my older kid more about anxiety. My younger one has just got this zest for life that I wish I could tap into. He's like, yeah I'm good with anything. You know, I don't know where he gets it from because it's not from me. My older one is more like me where, you know, the fear of the unknown, that sort of thing, getting into a different routine, breaking away from what's become your routine, that stuff really bothers me. And in talking with my oldest about anxiety, we talk about how anxiety is actually a good thing. It's throwing up some red flags, recognizing, okay, why am I feeling this way? Let's think about why I'm feeling this way. Okay, so I'm feeling anxiety because I'm going to be going to this class for the first time and having this teacher for the first time. Okay, so I'm recognizing all that. Okay, so this is my body and my mind, you know, warning me of something that is new. Yeah. That's all this is. It's not something to, anxiety is not something to fear, but it's something to welcome and to address.
I love that. I would use the word opportunity, you know? I love the fact that you're presenting it to your child that when saying, you know, what does that mean? Our anxiety is like a kind of a signal to us that something's happening or going on that we're not feeling comfortable with, or we're feeling uneasy about, and then to normalize it, as you said. Like, it's normal to feel nervous when you're starting school again. We've been at home together the whole summer. You haven't seen your friend for a long time. You're meeting a new teacher. You may be going into a new school. It's normal to feel nervous or anxious, and kids will often manifest that in headaches, stomach aches, that kind of thing as well. And to say, let's think of ways that you can feel less anxious and things that you can do at school the first day, but know that it's normal to feel that way. And I love the fact that you're getting him to kind of screen his body or kind of tap into those feelings and just kind of figure out what does this mean. And you know, yes, no questions are typically not good because they don't give you a lot of information. So if you say something like, are you feeling nervous? You know, they're either going to say yes or no. If they say no, you don't really know whether they are or not. So I would probably say something more like, you know, when I was your age, I remember feeling nervous or anxious, you know, just before school began. I didn't know who my teacher was going to be or if my friends would be in the same class as me. I wonder if you're feeling any of those things. And again, you know, you always have to walk that fine line, as you don't want to impose those things on your children or kind of put thoughts into their head. But my feeling that people don't usually get thoughts in their head unless they already have them. So you don't, like, if he is not, like, the younger child just doesn't feel it. So he might say to you, oh, come on, Dad, like, I'm excited, right? But your older child might really tap into what you're saying because he feels it and you know what he feels like because you felt the similar feelings. So I think normalizing and then just kind of assessing things as they go along. So normally I would say kind of typical that most kids, parents, teachers are all nervous, at least for the first few days or the first day for sure. And then I would say typically by the end of the second week, a lot of those nerves have really settled down. Child is still feeling extremely anxious into the third week, then you may want to figure out what else can I do to help my child. So, you know, some of the things might be, you know, when a kid is really young and they go to daycare, for example, sometimes they take a pacifier or they take a blanket with them as kind of like, we call that a transitional object, like transitioning from home to school or from home to daycare. And so for an older child, they may take like a little stone from the garden that they love, you know, that it's got a smooth texture that they like to feel. And so when they're feeling a little bit nervous, they might take that out of their backpack and just kind of like run their thumb along that, and that can calm them down. You could even talk to them about when you're feeling really nervous, what happens inside of you? Where do you feel the anxiety? Do you feel it in your tummy? Do you feel it in your head? You know, and maybe you don't want to give them all the answers, but they might say, well, I feel like I can't breathe properly. So you might talk about, well, let's practice some breathing exercises or some what I call, well, what is known in the industry as grounding exercises. So sometimes when children or adults are feeling very stressed or overwhelmed, they might look at, what are five things that I can smell right now? What are five things I can see? What are five things I can hear? And those are typically those kinds of exercises can help somebody feel more grounded, so to speak.
You know, when you mentioned a familiar object, my wife, I remember dropping off our oldest for the first time. Not the first time. It was day one of school. I don't remember what year. I think it was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Right. It was pre-pandemic. Anyway, and we dropped him off, and he was, you know, not feeling great. He was actually feeling quite terrible. And my wife pulled out a pen from her purse, and she said, yeah, This pen is my favorite pen. I love this pen. And I know this pen looks like a lot of other pens that we have, but this one is extra special to me. And it really has made me feel good at times where I don't feel good. And it was an everyday pen. She was making all this up. And she gave the pen to him.
Embellished.
Yeah. And she gave the pen to him. And she says, I think you should take this pen because I think it's going to make you feel good. And anytime you feel like you're missing me, you're missing Dad, you're missing home, you could grab that pen, you could hold on to it, and it's going to make you feel better. And he grabbed the pen, and he held on to that pen, and he held on to the pen. Like, when we went to pick him up, we'd see him holding the pen. And he held the pen every day for maybe about a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then eventually he wasn't holding the pen anymore. And we knew that was symbolic of he wasn't missing us as much.
I mean, it's wonderful that she was able to just kind of grab whatever to her mind at that time, you know, and so, and it worked, and that is the whole concept of having something, you know, traditional object or something from home. And one of the other things that made me think of when you talked about pen and writing is putting little notes in your child's lunchbox can be really comforting too. Just like, you know, I'm thinking about you, hope you enjoy this treat, or can't wait to see you, just 3 more hours or something like that. Just as a way of connecting during, and those can be very special as well.
Yeah, a lot of great tips. Check out HelpMeSarah.com. Psychologist, author, parenting relationship expert, host of the Experts Connect with Help Me Sarah podcast, and author of Don't Leave, Please Go, What You and Your Teen Need to Know Before Heading to University or College. Sarah Dimmerman, always a pleasure. I appreciate our annual chat and all the other chats we have in between, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us.
For having me on. Good luck.
Thank you. You too. You too. Thank you. There is Sarah Dimmerman.